This is lesson HBS 47. The series we're on is how to get into position to receive healing, and this particular lesson is called the do's and don'ts for after you've prayed. Lesson 47, and I've chosen to call it the do's and don'ts for after you've prayed. Now remember, last week we finally moved on to the top step of our stairway to healing that we've been talking about, which is to believe you receive when you pray. Remember Mark 11:24, Jesus said this: "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire," including healing, "when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have." What that simply means is that when you pray, don't pray until you can believe that you receive that thing. In other words, you're fully convinced that once you get done praying, that it's taken care of as far as God's concerned, and He's working on your behalf, whatever it is. That would be more general than just healing. In the case of healing, we're to believe that when we pray for healing, at that instant, whether it's laying on of hands, anointing with oil, praying in the name of Jesus, a spoken word, claiming your healing rights, whatever method that you use, at that moment, they all come together to one area, and that is to believe that you receive God's healing power going to work in your body right then. That's what Mark 16:18 says, basically. We covered that. Remember, Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name shall they," the believers, that is, "lay hands on the sick, and they shall begin to amend," or shall recover. We talked about the two Greek words that mean begin to amend. The only way you can begin to amend at the time hands are laid upon you for healing is if something happens right then. And what is it? That God's healing power is going to work in your body. Now, that's where we are right now. Now, this lesson is going to be on what do I do after I believe I receive until it shall have them. In other words, there's a time gap here. There's a time you pray, and that's the time you believe you receive. But the word says, remember, believe you receive now, and then you shall have. That means the manifestation, the full healing. I mean, let's say you've got a headache, for example. When you pray, or have hands laid on you, or anointed with oil, or whatever method you use, at the moment you pray, don't pray until you're ready to believe, that you can believe. Then pray, and at that moment, believe that God's healing power goes to work in your body. Now, that headache, pain that you feel in your body with your senses may or may not cease at the instant you pray. Most times, it does not. So what do you do between the time you pray and the time you shall have the manifestation? That is, finally discover, hey, the pain's gone. That's what I mean by manifestation, okay? There's a time gap usually there. What do you do in that time? There's specific things the Word tells us to do. Now, the lesson on the reverse side of your sheet here, how long will it take? I'm not going to get into in any depth. I present it there for you, for your own benefit. A lot of people are interested in this. Well, what factors influence how long it's going to take? I would love to teach this one tonight, but I don't really believe that's what the Lord wants us to talk about. I think He wants to talk about what we do specifically from the time we've prayed until the healing is manifested or the pain leaves. That's what I mean by manifestation in the case of pain. But I think it's interesting to know what are the factors that affect how long it's going to take. Now, if you went through this whole lesson, you see on the reverse side of your thing, you'd find out, we get down there and finally it says the thing that makes the difference is action on our part. We have to be acting in line with what we believed we received when we prayed. In other words, if I believed that I received healing for a headache when I prayed, that God's healing power is going to work, 10 minutes later I don't say, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do about this headache. Well, what do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? You just prayed. Did you believe you received something then or not? Oh, that's right. See, we've got to be consistent between the time we pray and the time that the pain leaves or the healing is manifested or whatever it might be. We can't be wishy-washy here. We can't just say, well, I believe, and then go off and act differently. And that's where most people, and it's usually through words, lose. They don't lose God's healing power, but what they do is it goes dormant. It just shuts it right down. Just like, I like to think of Peter. It's a perfect example. Peter walking on the water. He's walking along. He's doing fine as long as his eyes on the word. Okay? And what was that word?
Come.
He's doing fine as long as he's walking on that promise. But as soon as he takes his eyes off of Jesus' word and starts looking at the waves, he what? He begins to sink. All right? God's healing, not healing power in his case, but God's power that held him on the surface so he could walk on that water is beginning to shut down. He didn't just shut down all at once, but he began to sink. And it was slow enough that Jesus could take him by the hand. He says, help me, Lord, take him by the hand and take him back to the boat. So, you know, that these things are in the Bible for a reason. The reason that particular episode is in the Bible, I'm sure, is because it's not to produce faith to walk on water. I'm convinced that's not why that's in the Bible. I'm convinced it's in the Bible to show us how God's power works. And God's power continues to work as we continue to look at the Word. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. For why? They are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Therefore, keep these words in the midst of your heart. That's what the Word's telling us there. Attend to my words. That's what Peter didn't do in that case. He quit attending to God's Word. Now, so action is the thing that will shorten the amount of time you have to wait. If you continue to act on God's Word, for example, let's say healing. You've been prayed for healing. You go up forward, maybe the pastor lays hands on you, or you pray in your home, or you claim your healing rights, or you use one of these healing methods, all right? From that moment, something is different. You must go from that point being consistent in your speech, in all your actions for the healing to manifest. All right, there's a consistency that has to take place there. Now, if you go back and look at the reverse side of this, you'll find out the three delayed healings that Jesus had, every one of the healings that was delayed manifested itself when action took place. One was the 10 lepers. They were healed as they went. One was a blind man. He said, go wash. He laid hands on him and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And it says, as he went and washed in that pool, he could see. All right? And the other case was the nobleman's son. As soon as the father acted on the word Jesus gave him and left and went to his son, it said at that hour his son began to amend. That means his healing began to go forward. All right. So, I could go on for that lesson all night, but I don't want to do that. Now, what are the do's and don'ts that we should exhibit in our lives from the time we've prayed until that manifestation takes place? All right, what are they? Well, number one, of course, you have to continue to believe. You don't just believe you receive when you pray and then just quit believing as soon as the prayer is over with, okay? So you have to maintain that belief. Now, there's some scriptures here that make it very easy for us to maintain. And I'd like you to, first of all, open your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. Now, if you don't know where Titus is, all the T's are together. That's how I remember. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. 5 T's in a row. So find Titus. And let's see. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's start with Karen Wolf.
A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promises before the beginning of the time.
Okay, now, what piece of information is in that verse that just leaps out at you when you read that? Anything for you, Karen?
Faith and knowledge.
Okay, anything else? What's right after that?
And God's promise.
What's it say about God? What's it say about his personality? God what?
Does not lie.
God does not lie. It's even a little stronger in the King James. Anybody got the King James? What does it say, Karen?
Are you talking about Titus 1, 2?
Yes.
In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
God that, what?
Cannot lie.
Cannot lie. And the NIV says God that does not? Never lies. Okay, never lies, cannot lie. The upshot is the same, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God is never going to be caught in a lie because God will never tell a lie. Now that sounds so simple. It's like some of the other stuff that we talked about. Like Thorpe was saying, this is really not that complicated, folks, you know. God can't lie. He can't. It's impossible. So I said, God can do anything. No, he can't. He can't lie. Go ahead, Karen.
It's only because the world has taken everything and shaved a little here, shaved a little there, always told, mm-hmm. added to or subtracted to so that you don't believe when mm-hmm. somebody says this. And so you transfer it to God. You can't,
Boy,
you can't believe somebody else's
indictment.
Word. How are you going to believe his word?
You could carry that one step further and say people that have the hardest time believing someone else are the people that don't believe their own words very much. Or people that don't tell the truth all the time themselves. And because they don't expect it as much. That's interesting. So here's a fact number one. Titus 1:2 tells us a fact. God cannot lie. Can God do everything? No, he cannot. God cannot lie. God cannot violate his word.
That's right.
All right? He cannot go against his own word. All right, now turn to John chapter 17. Sometimes we need to just look at these simple little scriptures because faith comes by hearing the word, and just hear these simple things that the word says, it builds your faith. We know that God won't lie, but did you know that God cannot lie? That's interesting. Okay, John 17:17, Marianne.
Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Go back and read 16 and 17.
Okay. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Read 15, 16, and 17.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Now listen to what Marianne said there. In verse 15, Jesus is praying to who here? Do anybody know?
Father.
His Father. And he's doing this the night before he's crucified. And he's praying this great prayer that lasts all of John chapter 17 to his Father. One of the things he covers here, he said, Father, I pray not that you should take these ones here within his disciples, out of the world. But I do pray, Father, that you would keep them from the evil, or from the evil one, some translations say. That would be Satan. How? How is God going to do that? Jesus covers that in verse 17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means what? Separate. So you could see this. Read 15. Father, keep these disciples of mine from the evil one. And Father, do this by setting them apart through your truth. Thy word, Father, is truth. Alright? So here's how you keep yourself from the evil one. And this is how you keep yourself separate from the evil one. You set yourself apart through the truth of God's word. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted. Every time Satan tried to tempt him, he said, it is written, Satan. He was separating himself away from the evil one through the word of God. The word of God was a barrier there. Satan can never, ever fight with God's word. It is the sword of the Spirit. He can never get through that. And if you'll just hide behind God's word, he can't get at you. So separate yourself through the word. Thy word is truth. So first of all, we found out in Titus 1:2 that God cannot lie. Secondly, we found out that his word is truth. God will never lie, and his word is his truth. The word is always truth. All right? So when Mark 11:24 said, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Did you hear that? You shall have them. God cannot lie. His word is truth. We just learned that. I want you to get the full impact of what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, you got some things you desire? Then when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them, because God cannot lie, and His word is the truth. That's what that says. You know, if you just look at the word that way, every time you go, think about these scriptures, you're not going to have the trouble believing maybe you've had in the past. Now, before you pray, though, find out what God's word says about the situation. Now, we've spent 18 weeks tonight teaching about what God's will is concerning healing. You shouldn't have any trouble now believing you receive God's healing power come into your body when you pray. That shouldn't be a problem, because faith cometh by hearing, and you've been hearing this now for 18 weeks. That shouldn't be a problem. What might be a problem, though, is not so much not believing when you pray, but maintaining a consistent attitude of faith during the time you're waiting. Because I'll tell you what, folks, sometimes you go to be prayed for, you might go up in front of the church, the pastor might be laying hands on people, you might come to the Bible study, there might be an atmosphere of faith here, we've just finished teaching on healing, and all of a sudden you say, well, I'd like to have my brothers and sisters lay hands on me, and my faith is there tonight, I can believe I receive tonight, I want to pray for my healing, okay? That's not too difficult to do. And you can truly believe that you receive, and God's healing power will go to work and go in your body right here tonight or whenever you do this, and everything is going good. As far as God's concerned, everything is fine. Your body's recovering. As far as you're concerned, everything is fine. Your body's recovering. But what are you going to say tomorrow? What are you going to say next week if you don't see any changes yet? See, that's what we're talking about tonight. Do's and don'ts after you've prayed, all right? So do believe the truth that you received the healing power of God when you prayed. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Absolutely he will. That's what it means there. There's another thing that says God cannot lie. So, what should you do after you pray? Continue to believe. Do believe the truth that you did receive God's healing power in your body when you prayed. Now, what's the don't? Don't believe the lies of the enemy that say you're not healed. All right? Turn to John 8:44. You're already at John 17:17. Turn to John 8:44. And let's read verses... Do we want to do just 44? 44 is good. Ellen, would you read verse 44?
You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
See, and Satan is the god of what? This world. Little g god. All right, and he lies. He's the father of lies. He is a liar from the beginning. So, like Karen said a while ago, you know, the world is going to lie. And I don't know why it's a constant surprise to me.
It is.
But it is every time. But really, according to this, we should expect the world almost to lie. Simply because Satan is the god of that world, and he is the king of liars. And people in the world that don't know Jesus, have never accepted Jesus as Savior, their nature is different. Their nature is a dead nature. It's a nature of spiritual death. And they will lie just like your father. Like he said here, you are of your father the devil. I remember I was in Sunday school teaching a class, and I said, you know, we have to be born again, because before we're born again, Satan is our father. Then we come in and we're born again and we become children of God. And boy, somebody just... God is the father of everyone. What are you saying here? I says, well, no, he's not. He's the father of humanity. Well, in one sense, you might say it, that they're all created. You know, in the beginning, God created everyone, but then Satan got in there. God is not the father of the world yet. He will be when they accept Jesus as their Savior. And if you don't want to see another witness, go back and read 1 John 3:8, 9, and 10. It says the same thing. So, you are of your father the devil, it says here, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, steal, kill, and destroy. He abode not in the truth. Satan never lives in the truth. He lies, lies, lies. And why? Because there's no truth in him. There is not one iota of truth in Satan. When he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own. In other words, things that will make his program go forward. Mm-hmm. Whatever he speaks will be for his own ends. He speaks for his own. He doesn't speak for you. He doesn't speak to make your life any easier. He speaks to bring forward his own agenda. And that takes lies. And that's what he does. When he speaks a lie, he speaks not of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? I don't care what version of the Bible you have, you can understand that Satan is a liar. Yes, sir.
Now, when your Sunday school person erupted with this objection that God was the father of everything, and you took him in to see that scripture, I'm sure, how did he react?
He sort of shrugged his shoulders, and he just said, well, actually what he did say was, it was the week before I covered this, he came back to the class the next Sunday and said, I showed this to my teenage son, who he respects very greatly, because his son has really turned on to the Lord and everything, and he's a good witness for Jesus, and he's really quite an outgoing Christian. And my son said, this can't be true because blah, blah, blah. So I just repeated what it said here and showed him another place, and he just sort of shrugged his shoulders. He was sort of repeating what his teenage son had told him.
Is that what we're saying?
Huh?
So he has it on good authority, is that what we're saying?
Whatever. The point,
man's opinion. Man's opinion.
Right. It just that, you know, it sounds cruel. You know, we got this age of don't hurt anybody's feelings. We're all diverse here, you know. Don't make this one feel bad. Let's celebrate all these other holidays for Christmas. They don't believe that Jesus was really born of a virgin, but yet let's celebrate that too. You know, you get all this wishy-washy stuff coming. It's coming in the church now. We got the church saying the same thing. God is the eternal Father of all mankind, and everyone is. He's the Father of everybody. Don't say He isn't. That's cruel. You know, I mean, yeah, you get this kind of a funny, touchy-feely thing. I don't know. It drives me crazy.
Is it any wonder we're meeting here?
But, you know, let's go by the Word. The Word is truth.
That's right.
You know, and that's what the Word says. You are of your father the devil. Couldn't be any clearer, could it? All right, so the first thing you have to do, the first action thing, is to continue to believe after you've prayed.
That's right.
All right, now, I want you to turn, it's not in your notes, but turn to James chapter 2. This is a very, very important scripture to cover right this moment. You've heard it before, but this really explains it. James chapter 2. And Thorpe, you're going to have the honor of reading this tremendous verse that I have gotten more out of this verse, I think, than any other verse in the Bible, just about. Verse 17.
Okay. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How far do you should I?
That's it. That's good. Okay, in verse 17, if you were writing an equation, you could say faith plus works, or corresponding actions, what this means here, equals results. Now, when I was a very young Christian, I saw this. It just went off like a bomb in my spirit. It says a very interesting thing here. You hear faith taught a lot, faith talked about a lot, but did you know that faith by itself is dead, and it's alone, and it's sterile, and it won't do anything? How do we know this? We know it because it says so right here. Did you know that anything you see in the Bible is a precept? There will be an example somewhere in the Word? And there is in this. I don't have time to get into it. But if you turn, if you on your own want to put in your notes, Acts 14, you can go there and you can read an account of a man who was sitting, listening to Paul preach, who was lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. All right? And it said, the same heard Paul speak. And it says right above that, Paul was speaking the gospel. The same heard Paul speak. So what happens when you hear the Word? What comes?
Faith.
Faith cometh by hearing. It says the man heard Paul speak. He never walked in his life. It says Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Why? Because he'd heard the word preached. All right. Was that man healed right then? Was he walking at that moment? No. If you go back and read that, he was not. But Paul perceived he had the faith. Faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. You can have faith just like this man had, but if you don't act on that faith, nothing's going to happen. And so what did Paul do? He said, stand upright on your feet. And before the man could think, he jumped up. He acted on his faith. And at that moment, he walked for the first time in his life. There's a perfect example of faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. So when you believe, you receive when you pray, and then continue to believe. Now, what else do I need to do during the time after I've prayed for my healing, or whatever it might be? It's not just apply to healing. Until I actually see the result. By see the result, I mean we know that when we believe or receive when we pray, it's true in the spirit realm, and that power has gone to work in my body, or God has gone to work on my problem, whatever it might be. But we don't always see with our senses yet the answer, do we? You know, if we're praying for finances, we believe and receive when we pray, we don't open our eyes from praying and see the money laying there on the floor, do we? That's going to happen later. But what we must do during that time, after we believe and receive when we pray, is something else. And if we will, now this is the thing that's on side two of this sheet. If we will do these things and continue to do them on a daily basis, the thing that you desire when you pray, you can hurry it up. That time does not have to be a certain amount of time before you see it. You understand what I'm saying? If you've got a headache and you're praying for relief from that headache and you believe that you receive relief when you prayed, the time that elapses between then and you feel the pain leave can be shorter or longer, and a lot of it depends upon you. It depends how much are you acting your faith. Because when you continue to act and talk and say and thank God for the answer, what you're doing is you're keeping this whole thing working. You're keeping the healing process going. As you begin to shut up, don't say so much, kind of begin to be a little negative about it, the whole thing just starts to slow down. You understand? Just like Peter, you know, he was up on the water and he started to sink, you know. And that's the way it works. So if you want to speed it up, you can. That's what a lot of people maybe don't know, and that's what it really the lesson on the second side is about. It's very important that you do these six things, the five things that I have down here, okay? First, believe. Then do these five things. Now, I'm going to tell you what the five things are, and then within the time remaining, we'll cover appropriate scriptures, okay? The five things you need to do while you're waiting, after you've prayed, you believed, you received, until you actually see the manifestation of the thing you prayed for, is to listen to what God's Word has to say. Don't let anything else in that contradicts what God's Word says. Because faith cometh by hearing, and if you hear God's Word, you'll have God's faith. If you hear the world's Word, you're going to have faith in what the world says. You understand what I'm saying? You need to replace what the world is saying with what God says about your situation. What that means is, when you go to the doctor, go to the doctor. In fact, it's a good idea to go to the doctor if you need healing, because you can find out where to focus your faith. What is the problem? What is the situation I need to focus my faith on? But you're allowed to shut your mind to negative things that contradict God's Word that might come from the doctor's office. Did you know that?
Yes.
You do not have to believe that the case is terminal. You do not have to believe that you have 6 months to live. Do you understand that? Because if that's where your faith is, that's what you're going to have.
That's right.
And if you've already prayed for healing and the doctor says you've got 3 months to live, and you begin to say, oh my God, I've only got 3 months to live. You know what you just did? You just shut the healing power of God down in your body. Okay? That's exactly what you'll do. And as you keep saying that and keep... we don't have anything against doctors, right? I mean, they're very good men. But did you know they don't heal anybody? All they do is treat the symptoms. Only God can really heal something, fix something. I mean, they can give you medicine that will help and all of those kinds of things. I'm not saying that won't happen. But as far as what would you rather have, the original creator working on your situation, or some guy's best idea of how it might work. Now, take the medicine, do all the things he says to do, but you don't have to believe everything he says. You understand what I mean? Don't let words that contradicts God's words short-circuit your faith and turn the switch of faith off. That's what I'm saying here, okay? Yes.
That it keeps coming up in my spirit. The time I was in Duluth and I was sitting on the examining table, every woman's been there, and this man doctor says there's something in your mammogram, something disturbing in your mammogram, and we need to do a subsequent biopsy. I said, well, it's absolutely nothing wrong with me, but if it'll make you feel better, we'll do it. And I was so amazed when I walked out, because it was exactly the right thing to say. Mm-hmm. And I felt all the way through that, but it came out before I even gave it a thought. I guess what I'm saying, too, is that this is the kind of thing you build it all up before a doctor says something weird to you. But I didn't even know it was going to come out like that.
That was a wise thing to say.
And it was right. We walked the walk, mm-hmm. and went through the walk, and you went with me and everything else, and there was nothing wrong.
The tongue of the wise is health. Speak words of health about your body. Don't ever get in a position of saying negative things about you. If you say things about your body like, I have these allergies, and I always, at this time of year, when ragweed season comes in, I just sneeze and sneeze and sneeze, and my eyes water, and it's going to happen for a whole month now. I mean, maybe that has happened to you in the past, but don't continue to say that. Pray about that situation. Begin to say, I have prayed about that situation. Change your confession. Change what you say to be more in line with God's word. You know, we say such little things all day long, every day. We're saying things that contradict God's word. And what I'm trying to do is say, listen to what God's word has to say, first of all, and don't listen to the words of the enemy or the words of doctors if they contradict God's word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Now, Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. That's what we're talking about here when we say, listen to what God's word has to say. But here's what you don't do, and that's in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Let's see. Did you read, Karen? No, I don't think you did you?
I think he did.
Yeah, you read.
Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge.
In your own words, what does that mean?
So don't listen to those words that cause you to err. So don't listen to an evil report about that you can't get well.
All right. Where might this instruction that causes to err come from, do you think?
The world.
The world? That's right. That's one possibility.
Satan's
There's
lies.
Three primary places.
Satan's lies.
Satan's lies. The devil. So we got the world and the devil. What's left? The flesh.
No.
Usually?
Knowledge. World knowledge.
Yeah, that's the world. Yeah. World's knowledge. The world. Their way of looking at things. That's one of the sources that's going to cause you to err from the words of knowledge. Another one is the devil himself. He'll lie to you. We found that out. And the third one is your own body. Your own body will tell you things that aren't helpful sometimes. For example, let's say you just prayed for relief from a headache, okay? And you believed you received when you prayed. You're done praying. God's healing power has gone to work in your body, and your head suddenly feels worse. Can that happen? Yeah, that can happen. But, so your body can tell you things that, when acted upon, can cause you to err from the words of knowledge. You can say, I just prayed. I thought it might work. I guess it didn't because my head even hurts worse now. See, that would be the wrong thing to say right then. Do you understand that? Even though we're not denying the pain's worse, we're not denying the pain's there. What we're saying is that God has gone to work in this situation. And as far as I'm concerned, God's working on the situation. And I'm not going to damage what he's doing through saying stuff like, I guess my head hurts worse. I guess it didn't work. Don't do that. Okay? You know that. But I'm just trying to be as specific as I can. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are instruction that can cause you to err from the words of knowledge. Now, what would the words of knowledge be?
This word,
the word of God, exactly. So all this verse is saying is be careful. Cease hearing stuff that's not of my word. Don't listen to it, because if you do, you're going to succumb to temptation and begin to speak negative situations. And we all know what happens then. Because God's word said, whatever you say with your mouth and believe in your heart will come to pass. So that's why we have to guard what we listen to, guard what we think about, okay? All right, so we got to watch what we listen to. We also have to guard what we look at. Proverbs 4:21 says, let your eyes not depart from God's word. Incline your ear unto his sayings, and let your eyes not depart from his word. So it's something you do with your ears, it's something you do with your eyes. All right? So it means look at what God's word says about Jesus already having taken your infirmities. That's what you should look at. If you want to look at something, look at what God says look at. All right? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everybody's sitting there thinking, well, this is kind of obvious. I know it's obvious, but it's important. You know? I mean, you can get up every morning and say, well, it's obvious I should go to work. But, I mean, I know that. I know I need to go to work. Well, but do it. You know what I mean? I mean, it may be obvious, but sometimes we don't always do things, even though they're obvious. And so what I'm trying to get across tonight is do it. This is what you need to be doing. And this is what, you know, that may be different than what you've heard before, is that it's so important. See, people aren't losing their healing so much on not believing. I mean, you're past the point where you think God's putting sickness upon you. You're past that point. You're at the point now when you can believe you receive when you pray. And that's not a problem. But the problem you're going to have is going to be, and that's why I'm emphasizing this, this of all the lessons we've had is probably the one that's the most important. Because where people are missing it isn't so much in not believing, especially people of your maturity in this room that have been through all these lessons and heard on healing like you have. Where most people are missing it of our maturity level is not believing they receive when they pray, but after they've prayed, before they see the manifestation, they're letting the world, the flesh, and the devil influence what they hear, what they say, what they see, and first thing you know, they're off God's promise and back on the world's confession. And as soon as you do that, you're going to lose it. And see, that damages our faith. Every time that we pray for something and don't see it ever come to pass, the next time we pray, we think, well, I'm going to pray, and I'm trying to get my faith worked up, but you know that didn't work the last time? And see, we're a little less... It's a downward spiral. We should receive answers to our prayers every single time we pray, simply because we do not pray until we're ready, until we've heard enough word, until the faith has gotten in our heart to the point where we can believe we'll receive when we pray. And then after we've prayed, we're learning exactly what we need to do until the full manifestation comes. Now, did you have something, Karen?
On your word where you say that faith plus corresponding action equals results, I don't have any problem believing I receive. But where I get messed up is, or what happens to me occasionally, if there is a long time between the time that I receive and the manifestation of it, my eyes, like Peter, get off onto what I'm doing, and I'm not saying anything. And I find that all of a sudden I'll wake up and find out, well, what happened to my confession? I had gone into inaction. If you go into inaction, you're kind of falling.
That's right.
But you can get it back, just like Peter cried out. You can. And God's always there for you. But that's my spot where I have to really watch it.
The thing is, what Karen's saying is really true. I used to think like that. I used to think, if I'm not saying anything negative, I'm okay. But you're not. You have to say something positive. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the key. Here's the thing that I never realized, but it's truth. If you're not saying something positive about your situation, you don't believe it. Because whatever you believe, you talk about. Out of the abundance of what's in here, your mouth will speak. That's what Jesus said. It will speak. People say, well, I don't say anything, but I believe it. I don't think so. If you believe it, you're going to talk about it. Especially if it's really important to you. If it's something like healing, if it's a matter of life and death, if it's a matter of your children, if it's a matter of your marriage. You know, if you really believe it, you're going to talk about it. You're going to be excited about it. I mean, if you believe you receive when you pray, you've been diagnosed with terminal cancer, let's say. And you go and you hear these lessons and you get your faith built up and you're ready to pray. And we all pray with you and agree with you, and you believe you receive when you pray. And then you go home and don't say anything for 6 months about it? I don't think so. If you believed you received when you prayed, you'd be telling everybody, oh, I had cancer, but I'm healed now. Thank God.
It's like everything else you know. You can know a foreign language, and you can speak it fluently. If you don't speak it for a couple of years, you can't speak it fluently.
That's a good example.
You can weave. And if you don't weave for a couple of years, you're not going to be a weaver that you
thought. Use it or
lose it.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know, be positive about this whole thing. I used to be, I think, well, I'm not going to say anything negative. I didn't say anything. That was no good either.
Because nothing's moving.
Right. Nothing's moving.
Nothing's moving.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving. So say, that's the next thing. There is a spiritual law, and we covered this. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, back on the looking, it's, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:4.
Oh.
God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The glory of Christ is the image of God. So.
Yeah, they're in deep trouble.
You can't get your information from them.
Right. There you go.
Better have scripture to stand on.
That's right. That's a good point. Well, I forgot. Well, we're at 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read verse 18. What are we supposed to do here? Eunice, read 17 and 18.
Okay. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Well, there is an example of what you're supposed to look at. What she just read. What are we supposed to look at, Eunice? Things that are what?
Unseen.
Well, that sounds goofy, doesn't it? We're supposed to look at things unseen and not look at things that are seen. Huh? What does that mean? What does unseen mean here?
What? The spiritual realm.
So we're supposed to look into the spiritual realm, into God's Word. What does God's Word have to say? He said, my words are spirit and they are life. God's words are spirit. Those are unseen. God's truths in here aren't something always we see. And when our senses, what we see with our senses, hearing, tasting, touching, all the 5 senses, what we're seeing with those senses, if it's contradicted by the unseen, we're supposed to go to the unseen, God's Word. All right? Look at that. If you look just at your pain, if you look just at the words a doctor said, and only that, and don't look at God's Word, if it contradicts God's Word, we're going to be in trouble. God can't help us. So what we need to do is look at God's Word first. That's what this means here. Look at what, not at things which are seen with your senses only, but look also at the unseen. And when the unseen is contradicted by the seen, go with the unseen. That's God's Word. That will always get you through it. All right? So that's what we're to look at. Don't look at what your senses say if they contradict God's Word. Name some things that might be seen that would cause you to get your eyes off the Word. What's something your senses could tell you? Give me an example. Anybody?
You got a headache.
The pain of a headache. That's seen. That's a sense realm thing. Now, we don't deny that it exists. We're just saying it doesn't have a right to exist because Jesus took that infirmity. He bore our sickness. So what we're going to do after we've prayed is we're going to look at the unseen truth that says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. That Jesus took my infirmities, including this headache. All right? And I'm going to concentrate on that. And that's what my confession is going to be. And I'm going to say things like this after I've prayed. I'm going to say, Father, the next time that headache hurts, I'm going to say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the healing power of God went into my body when we prayed, or when I prayed, or hands were laid upon me, or I was anointed with oil, whatever it might be, whatever method. Thank you that the healing power of God is working in me now to drive out this pain and to bring a complete healing and cure of this headache. Thank you that you're working on it right now. That's looking at the thing unseen. Looking to the thing seen would be to say, I just prayed, it still hurts, I guess the prayer didn't work, I give up. You know? That's the mistake. But folks, you know, it sounds so obvious to us right now, but do you know 80 or 90% of our brothers and sisters in the Lord are doing just that? See? And that's why we're talking about this. Not to criticize them, but so we can move on. So we can use some of these things that God provided for us. All right, the next thing is we need to say something. Now here we're moving into a spiritual law, Mark 11:23. Remember that one? We had a whole lesson on that. Karen knows all about that because we talked about that a lot. And it says this. Jesus said this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, that person will have whatsoever he says." Now, that's the positive end of it. There's a negative end to this thing, too. What was that? What did you call that thing?
Biopsy.
And the doctor told her all those things. She says, "Well, you can go ahead if you want to, but I know one thing." What was it you said?
Oh, it's a mammogram.
Mammogram.
And I said, "Well, you can go ahead with the test if it makes you feel better, but I know there's something wrong."
All right, there. Did you believe that in your heart when you said
it? Definitely, because it popped right out.
So there you are. She said something God could work with there. All right? The tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The tongue of the wise." If you're wise, you're going to talk health about your body and not sickness about your body, okay? Tongue of the wise is speaking health about their body. All right. Now, what you don't say is what your senses tell you if they contradict God's word. Proverbs 6:2, I'll just tell you what it says. "Thou art snared by the words of your mouth."
I could have said, "My mouth had breast cancer. I guess I have it too."
That would be snaring yourself by the words of your mouth. What does snared mean?
Mean caught.
Caught, trapped. Held in position. Put prisoner. Held, becoming captive to your own words. This is important stuff. If we're not careful, we can say words that will bring us in bondage by not saying God's words. And you know, we know a lot of people that do this. And it's the first thing that a lot of us need to clean up is what we're saying. Not so much that we're saying swear words, we've gotten beyond that, but we got to be careful that we don't say words that aren't in line with God's word. What you really want to do, this is what it is, give God words he can work with. See, God is on our side. He wants to help us. But we have to help him by saying words that are in line with his own words, that don't contradict him. If we're saying words contradictory to God's word, we're butting heads with the system here that's never going to bring us anywhere. We're going to be constant losers. Not because God's putting it on us, but because we're not making ourselves available for the things that he purchased for us, because we're constantly contrary to those things through what we say. So say what God's word says. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the what?"
Tongue.
Death and life. And that could be literally life and death. If you've been diagnosed with a serious illness and you begin to say, "I guess that's what it is. I've only got 6 months to live. I've only got 6 months to live. I've only got 6 months to live." You say that, believe that enough, you bring it to pass yourself. All right. The next thing, we need to consider some things. We need to consider Mark 16:18, that God's healing power is now at work in our bodies. In other words, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover or begin to amend." That's what that means. Begin to. I think the reason I've spent some time emphasizing the fact that all healings aren't immediate is because a lot of people receive prayer and they think if they don't feel different right then, nothing happened. And we got to get over that, because that's a faith killer right there. We look at our bodies after we pray. I've done it, but I know better now. We've got to understand that God's healing power goes in and starts to work, and it's going to maybe take a little time before this whole thing is reversed. First, it's got to stop what's happening in there and then start the healing process. And the healing process is not always immediate. That would be more like a miracle. God recreate a bunch of stuff and do it instantaneously, that would be a little different than a healing. A healing is more of a gradual thing. They shall recover, begin to amend. So just because you don't receive the manifestation right then when you pray, don't give up. That would be abnormal if you did receive it then. But do consider his healing powers at work in your body. All right, turn to Romans chapter 4, and I'll show you something else you need to consider. And we'll move along real quickly then. Romans chapter 4. Chuck, you're going to get the honor of reading one of the most clear scriptures. Romans chapter 4 can tell you more about faith than any other chapter in the Bible if you just read it. It really is good. From 17 on, the rest of the chapter. Read verse 21. It's talking about Abraham now, okay? when Abraham was expecting a child, and he was 100 years old, no child, no Isaac had showed up yet. This is what he was doing while he was waiting. Just like we're waiting. We believe, we receive when we pray, we're waiting. Abraham had to wait 25 years, the time God told him he was going to have a child, until he actually saw Isaac. All right, so we're going to find out what he did. Number one, he considered something here. Verse 21, what did he consider?
Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised.
Okay, is that too hard to understand? Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he's promised, is that what the NIV said?
Power to do what he had promised.
That's not too much, is it? Just to be persuaded, King James says, that what God has promised, he's able also to perform. That's not too much to believe, is it? If he's promised it. Has he promised us healing? Then is it too much to believe that, be fully persuaded that the healing that God has promised, he's able to do? Okay, consider that while you're waiting. That's a good thing to consider. Consider the fact, okay, that God has made a promise to you on healing, and he has the ability to make it good. That's not too much to believe. That's not hard to believe. Number one, he's made a promise. Number two, he can't lie. Number two, his word is truth. And number four, what he has promised, he's able to do. That's not hard. All right. What don't you consider? Well, Chuck, continue. Read verse 19.
Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead.
You know, that really warps the meaning of that verse, that way it's worded there. Let me tell you what the King James says. Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That's a little different, isn't it? He considered not his own body now dead. What does it mean, dead? It means dead to being able to generate the sperm or whatever it takes to go into his wife and to make a kid. That's what we're talking about. His body is incapable of doing that anymore. But what did he do? We're talking about considering. First, we talked about what to consider. His ability to perform the promise. The thing we're not to consider is our own body now screaming in pain, now diagnosed as sick, now dead. Don't consider that. If you begin to dwell on that, you're going to have a hard time maintaining your confession during the time it takes until your healing comes.
That's dwelling on what is.
Right.
Not what you want.
Right. But you know what this does? This lends the weight of the word to what we're talking about here. It's talking about Abraham and how he got his child. And he said the way he did it was, first he considered that God had made a promise and he was able to perform it. Then he didn't consider his own body now dead. Don't consider your body. In other words, don't look to the senses. Don't look to the unseen. What it's really saying is saying that Abraham looked to the unseen, which was the promise of God and his ability to do it. He didn't look to the seen, which was his own body. The seen, his own body now dead. You see what I'm saying? That's perfectly in line with 2 Corinthians 4:18. So consider not, he considered not his own body now dead. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, we shouldn't be staggering at God's promises. We should be rejoicing in God's promises. His promises shouldn't cause us to stagger. Oh my gosh, he's promised me healing. Hey, that's good news. Rejoice in that. Don't stagger at the promise. That would be unbelief. But he was strong in faith. What's strong faith? Well, first of all, you give glory to God, you praise him. And secondly, you're fully persuaded that what he promised he's able to perform. It's very simple. It's really, I love that whole chapter. Okay, now the last thing we need to do, we're waiting, is probably, I think, one of the most important things. Now, let's go to my example at the top of the page. It's my birthday, or it's Marianne's birthday, and I buy her a new car. It's paid for and will be delivered in 2 days. Does Marianne wait till she sees the car delivered before she tells others about it, or before she begins to thank me for it? What do you think? Did everybody understand that?
There's a factor here, though. It's how much I trust you.
Right.
Yes. Okay? If I don't trust John Q. Public, who just wandered on the lots and I bought you a car, and he wanders away, I mean, it's how much you trust God. You trust
right.
him.
That's a good point. But did I say it was John Q. Public? I said it was me, right?
I know, but, you know, who do you trust?
I bought you a new car. It's paid for. It's going to be delivered in 2 days. I come home and tell you, surprise, your birthday. What do you do? What do you do?
Say thank you.
Say thank you, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And you begin to rejoice. Tell your friends, I got a new car, I got a new car, I got a new car. This is not rocket science. This is pretty simple stuff. I mean, if you really believed you received when you prayed for healing, it shouldn't be that hard to thank God for it before you see anything happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you really believe the healing power of God's working in your body, and it'll be only a matter of time before the manifestation of the healing comes, simply because it's working in there, then it's the most natural thing in the world to say, thank you, Lord. And this is what we should do. What you should do if you have been prayed for healing and you believe you received when you prayed, during the time you're waiting, make sure. And this, I think, is the most important thing. This is the thing that I think makes more sense than anything else. If you really believed you received when you prayed, the most natural thing in the world, when you roll over in the morning and open your eyes, is go, thank God I'm over that. Thank God he's working on this situation. Thank God I'm not going to die from this thing I was diagnosed with. Thank God he's working in my body right now to bring about a healing and a cure, and he's driving out that disease. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father, how good you are to have these promises. That's a natural thing to do. It's not only natural, it's what we should do. Don't be silent. And I'll tell you what, if you'll do these things that we've talked about, whatever it is, if it's not healing, if it's something else, it will speed up the time it takes. Now, let me just give you a real quick example. Last year, I was out mowing, I just went in my mind, mowing the yard, and I got stung by this certain type of wasp. It's black. It's not the brown one. It's the black one. You ever seen those guys? They're kind of a bluish black wing. And my arm swole up that big. I mean, it was huge. And it stayed there about two and a half weeks that way. Last week, I got stung by another one of those things down here in my ankle. And I don't know why, but it ballooned way up. And when I would put my sock on, when I would take my sock off, there'd be a big dent in my leg right there where the swelling was in more. And then it would go way up my calf and down in my ankle. Well, I thought, I'm going to do this. I know something I didn't know last year. And so I said, Father, I lay my hands on my ankle in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your word says in Mark 16:18, that I am a believer, and I'm laying hands on myself. So I can do that. You can lay hands on yourself.
Amen.
Because he that believeth on me in my name shall he lay hands on the sick, and he shall recover. I lay hands on my ankle in the name of Jesus, and I command that the swelling leave and it be completely healed and cured. Then for every couple of hours when I would think about it, I would say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that earlier, yesterday, or today, whatever, 2 days ago when I prayed, I thank you at that time your healing power went into my ankle. And it's now in there working to drive out the swelling and to bring about a healing into my ankle. And you know, it was only 2 or 3 days before it was completely down. Well, you might think, well, gee, usually it only takes me 2 or 3 to get rid of any swelling. Listen, I had the same thing the week before, and it took over 2 weeks. And all the pain went away. I'm convinced in my own heart that speeded it up. That thanking God, praising God, thanking him for, you know, even if you don't do anything else, if you'll just thank him, you'll keep you from considering anything else. It'll keep you from saying anything else. It'll keep you from looking at anything else. It'll keep you from listening to anything else. Because while you're thanking God for something, you can't be doing those other things. So that's the one I would emphasize the most. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. So let's go over our homework now. First question. Name something God can't do. And then I give you a couple scriptures as hints. What is something God can't do? A lot of people would look at that and say, what do you mean God can't do? God can do anything. No, there's a few things he can't do. what is this particular one thing that these scriptures are talking about? In that blank, you should put something like this down. God can't lie. It's one thing God can't do. He can't go back on his word. It's another thing. There's a few things like that that God can't do. He cannot lie. His word is truth. So that's the first question. Now let's go on to the second question. After you have prayed and believe, what are the five things you should do to receive the thing you prayed for? Now there's a lot of writing that goes in these five blanks, but you can take it right off the outline. Okay, in the first blank, keep listening to what God's word says about your healing. In other words, keep listening. In other words, don't just pray. Once you've prayed and you believe you received, that's great. But then remember, the title of this lesson is Do's and Don'ts for After You've Prayed. And there's some things you need to be doing after you've prayed until the manifestation comes. And those are the five things we're talking about here. So number one in the first blank goes, keep listening to whatever God's word says about your healing. In other words, it says by Jesus' stripes you are healed. Don't just quit, because you need to have your faith continually reinforced during the time you're waiting. So keep listening to what God's word says about your healing would be number one. Number two, look at what God's word says about what Jesus already took your sicknesses and your diseases. In other words, not only listen to teaching on healing, but look at what God's word says. Read it for yourself. Number three, third blank. Say what God's word has to say about Jesus taking your infirmities and bearing your sickness. In other words, don't just listen, don't just look, but also say what God's word says. When somebody asks you about your situation, say what God's word says. That's an opportunity to act on your faith. Okay? Fourth blank. Consider that God's healing power is at work in your body since the moment you prayed. That goes in the fourth blank. And finally, in the fifth blank, thank God for your healing, even before your senses tell you you're healed. In other words, even before the manifestation comes. So going over it very quickly in those five blanks. Number one, keep listening to what God's word says about your healing. Number two, keep looking at what God's word says about Jesus taking your infirmities and bearing your sickness. Number three, say what God's word has to say concerning your healing. Number four, consider that God's healing power is now at work in your body. And number five, thank God for your healing, even before your senses tell you. There's a lot of stuff goes in those blanks, and it'll take you a while to write that in there, but I've repeated enough that you should know what goes in those blanks. Next question. Name one thing we are to believe and one thing we're not to believe. Well, that's directly from your outline. What is one thing we are to believe? We're to believe what God's word says about your healing. What's the one thing we're not to believe? Don't believe the enemy's lies saying that you're not healed. In other words, sometimes when you're waiting for the healing after you've prayed, there will be thoughts that will come into your mind like fiery darts saying, your body still hurts, you're not healed, you don't think you're healed, do you? Well, don't believe that, because that's contradictory to God's word. Next question. Name one thing we're to listen to and one thing we're not to listen to. In other words, after we've prayed for our healing. Well, one thing we're to listen to, again, and I keep emphasizing this, is God's word. That is the thing that will keep you on track while you're waiting for the manifestation of your healing. What's one thing you shouldn't listen to? Anything that contradicts what God's word has to say about your healing. So, one thing you're to listen to, God's word. One thing you're not to listen to, anything that contradicts what God's word has to say about your healing. Next question. The blank of blank is medicine or health to all my blank. What goes in there? Well, Proverbs 4:20, 21, and 22 tells us the word of God is medicine or health to all our flesh. That's a wonderful promise, folks. If you'll stay in the word of God, that word is like medicine, not just a part of your flesh, but to all your flesh. And we're talking about your flesh here, your body. So if you need healing, stay in the word of God. Next question. Name one thing we are to look to and one thing we're not to look to as we're awaiting the manifestation of our healing. That's what we're talking about here. One thing we're to look to and one thing we're not to look to. Well, we're to look to God's Word. Again, keep God's Word before your eyes and in your ears. One thing you're not to look to is your senses if they contradict what God's Word has to say about your healing. In other words, we need our senses, don't we? Touch, taste, smell, hearing, sight. We need all those senses, but we don't need their input if it contradicts God's Word. That is, let's say someone says to you, well, you sure don't look healed. Well, their senses is telling them that you don't look healed yet. You don't need to listen to that. And your own senses, boy, there's still some pain there. I wonder if I am healed. See, your senses may still be some pain there. Your senses are picking up. But if it contradicts what God's Word has to say, that is, that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, and that when hands were laid upon you, when you prayed for your healing, that the healing power is now working in your body. That's what you need to look to, because that's what God's Word has to say. Next question. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we are to look not at blank blank, but at the things which are blank blank. What goes in there? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we are to look not at things seen, but at the things which are not seen. That sounds a little funny when you first hear it, because we're to look at something not seen. I mean, look, the very idea of looking sounds like we're looking for something seen, because we're looking. Well, what we're talking about here are two different things, isn't it? One is in the spirit and one is in the natural. What it means is we are to look with the eyes of our spirit to things unseen, things not revealed by our senses, because that is the deeper truth. Sometimes our senses can be wrong. Sometimes our senses, they're not so much wrong as they're giving us an impression that causes us to reach a conclusion that's erroneous. For example, you've prayed for your healing. God's Word says that by Jesus' stripes you are healed. God's Word says that when hands were laid upon you, the healing power of God went into your body to bring about a healing and a cure. It's working in your body. But your senses say, no, my body still hurts. Therefore, I must not be healed. See, your senses are rightly picking up a condition that indicates discomfort or pain, but you're drawing a wrong conclusion by saying that you're not healed because your senses are picking that up. Their senses will continue to pick up things like that until the healing is manifested. But that does not mean that just because you're in pain that the healing power is not working in your body at that very moment to bring about a healing and a cure. Well, what does this mean? Fill in the blank. We are to look first to what God's Word says about our healing and not what our senses say if they contradict what God's Word says. Okay, let me read that again so that you that are filling in this blank can put the right words in here. What does this mean? We are to look first to what God's Word says about our healing and not what our senses say if they contradict God's Word. Next question, true or false? This is because things we see with our senses are temporary and things of the Spirit are eternal. Well, that's true. That's exactly what 2 Corinthians 4:18 says. For the things seen are temporary or subject to change, and the things unseen are eternal. That's why the things unseen are the things we're to look to, the things of the Spirit, because they're eternal. If our senses contradict God's Word, we should go with our senses, because seeing is believing. True or false? Well, that's false. We have heard that saying, seeing is believing, but sometimes that can fool you. Seeing is not always believing. What we see with our eyes is not always what we want to believe if it contradicts what God's Word has to say. So if our senses contradict God's Word, we should not go with our senses, because seeing is not always believing. So the way I've written it there, that question would be false. Name one thing we are to say and one thing we're not to say. In other words, concerning our healing after we prayed. Well, one thing we can say is the healing power of God is working in my body to bring about the healing Jesus purchased for me. That would be a good thing to say. I'll say it again. that you can say that the healing power of God is working in my body to bring about the healing Jesus purchased for me. What wouldn't I say? What you don't say is what your body might be telling you through your senses. That I still feel sick, so I guess I'm not healed. In other words, there may still be pain, as we said. There may still be some sickness symptoms until the manifestation occurs in your body, and that will happen. And you may still feel sick, but the thing we don't want to do is to say that we're not healed because of that, because that will shut down that healing process that's begun in our body. Next question, true or false? Mark 11:23 says that whatever we believe in our heart and think with our mind will come to pass. True or false? Well, that's false. If you go back and read Mark 11:23, what does it say? Jesus said in that famous scripture, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Jesus mentions saying three times in that verse, didn't he? He said, whosoever shall say into this mountain, and not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatever they say. So it's false the way it's written, because it says, if whatever we believe in our heart and say with our mouth shall come to pass. It doesn't say think with our mind, does it? So that question is false the way it's written. It's not what we believe in our heart and think with our mind that comes to pass. It's what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth that comes to pass. So that question is false. Name one thing we are to consider and one thing we're not to consider after we've prayed and we're waiting for our healing. One thing we are to consider is, number one, that God's healing power is working in my body since I prayed. You're to consider that. Consider the fact that God's healing power is working in your body since that moment of prayer. Okay, or end up laying on of hands to your body. What are we not to consider? We're not to consider contrary sense knowledge evidence. In other words, we can acknowledge we hurt. I mean, I'm not saying we don't hurt. I'm not saying there might not be pain. I'm not saying there might not be symptoms that our senses indicate that the healing hasn't been fully manifested. That's true. That all can happen. But we're not to consider it in the sense that we change our conclusions about whether God's healing power is working in our body. So we're not to consider contrary sense evidence that says we're not healed. Next question. Who was it that considered not his own body when it, that is, his body, said he was too old to have a child? Who was that in the Bible? Well, that was Abraham, wasn't it? It said in that famous chapter in Romans chapter 4, he said he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So why didn't he consider it? Because it was contrary sense knowledge evidence that went against God's word that said he will have a child. So did you get that? This is important. Who was it that considered not his own body when it said he was too old to have a child? That was Abraham. It says right there, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, what did he consider? Well, if you go on and read that same place in chapter 4 of Romans, it says he considered that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So in other words, Abraham focused on God's promise, not on what his body was telling him, not on what sense knowledge evidence told him that he was too old to have a baby, not on what sense knowledge evidence said that Sarah's body was not functioning in a manner that would enable her to have a baby. He didn't consider that, even though his body was saying this cannot happen, and what Sarah's body was saying, this cannot happen. What he did consider, though, was that God had promised something, and that God then was able to perform that which he promised. That's what he did consider. And folks, that's the same thing we're to consider and not to consider. That's why I brought this out here. Don't consider your own body when the pain says that you weren't healed. Consider what God's word says, that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. So we do the same thing Abraham did. Who was it that said he would rely on his senses to determine whether Jesus was resurrected. Who was that? Well, that was Thomas, remember? He said, unless I can place my fingers in the prints of the nails and put my hand into his side, I won't believe that Jesus is alive. Well, what was he relying on there when he said that? He was going to rely on his senses, wasn't he? Even though a greater truth, God's word says that the Son of God would be raised up, and Jesus was raised up. So here he said he was going to believe his senses and not what the prophecies on Jesus had said. Next question. After we've prayed for our healing, name one thing we are to thank God for and one thing we're not to thank God for. Okay, what goes in those blanks? Well, the thing we thank God for is this. We thank God that his healing power is at work in our body to bring about a healing and a cure. Why do we thank God for that? Once we've prayed and laid hands, had hands laid on or laid our own hands on our body, it says that we will begin to amend from that point. Remember Mark 16:17. Jesus said, he that believeth on me in my name shall he, and one of the things he can do is to lay hands on the sick and he shall begin to amend or shall recover. So we thank God that his healing power is working in our body. What thing don't we thank God for? Well, we don't thank God for our sickness. Most people would know that instinctively. But I've heard some people just say I just thank God that I'm sick because I want the perfect will of God in my life. And if I'm sick, it must be God's will because it happened. And I just thank God for it because the Word of God tells us that we're thank God for all things. Well, folks, that's just ignorance gone to seed. We're not to thank God for our sickness. Why? He didn't bring it. You wouldn't, you know, if your aunt gives you a birthday present, you don't go thank your mother for it. No, you thank your aunt because she gave you that present. Well, you thank the person who brought the thing if it's a good thing. Okay? And sickness is not a good thing. It says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Healing is good. Sickness is not good. Jesus did good. He didn't bring sickness on anybody. God never brought sickness on anybody. But the devil will, according to this verse I just quoted, Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by who? The devil. So don't thank God for your sickness. He didn't bring it. So we don't ever thank God for sickness. We never praise God for his will being done in our body through sickness. That, I think, is obvious. Next question. Why thank God for our healing before we see it? Some people have a problem with this, and I don't really understand why. Some people think, well, if I don't see it yet, why am I thanking God for it? Well, the reason you thank God for your healing before you see it is because we have believed we received our healing when we prayed. So if you believe you received your healing when you prayed, that the healing power of God is working in your body, why wouldn't you thank God for it? Here's another example. Why does a child thank his parent for a promise that's yet been unfulfilled in terms of a manifestation? In other words, let me clarify this. Let's say that a child wants a bicycle for his birthday, and his parent says, that's fine, we're going to get you a bicycle for your birthday. Well, then that child begins to thank his parent. Oh, Dad, I'm so glad. Thanks for the bike that you're going to give me. I'm really looking forward to that. I can't wait to ride it. Thank you. Well, does he receive it yet? No. Well, how can he thank his parents for something he's not received? Simply because he believes that promise of his parents, and he's rejoicing in something that hasn't happened yet in the natural, but which he believes that soon as he heard his parents' word on it, he has believed he is going to receive that thing. So it's perfectly natural for that child to thank his parents for something he has not seen in the natural as yet, but which he believes is coming. And it's the same way with our healing. Next question. Why don't we thank God for our sickness? Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says to thank God for all things. Well, we're getting back into that thing I discussed a little bit previously. But why is it that we don't thank God for our sickness? Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says to thank God for all things. If you go back and read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says to thank God in all things, not for all things. In other words, within our trials, we can thank God for his deliverance. But we don't thank God for the trial. He didn't bring it. God is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of trials and temptations that come upon us that are evil. God's word says, let no man, when he is tempted, blame God for that. Let me go back and read this a little. I can't quote it directly right now, so let me just read it. In James it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. In other words, with evil things. So don't blame God for the thing that's come upon you, for sickness and things like that that are evil, because he didn't bring them. But we can thank him in the trial for his deliverance. We can say something like this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that even though right now I still have some pain in my body from this thing I've prayed about, I know that your word says that I'm healed. And I thank you in this trial, Father God, not for it, but because I know your deliverance, your delivering power, your healing power is working in my body right now. Thank you, Father, for my perfect healing. So you thank God in the trial, but not for the trial. I think that must be pretty clear by now. Next question. True or false? Acting on our faith is the thing that puts our faith to work. True or false? Well, that's true. We need two things, folks. Well, three things, really, for our healing to be manifested. Number one, we need faith. Number two, we need action on that faith. And number three, we need patience until the healing is manifested in our body. So we've already had that in the healing equation in another series of lessons in this online Bible school we have here. The healing equation talks about faith plus corresponding action plus patience equals the healing manifestation every single time. So acting on our faith is a thing that puts our faith to work. James 2:17, that says, faith without action is dead, being alone. In other words, faith is necessary, but it's not a sufficient condition to receiving from God. So acting on our faith is the thing that puts our faith to work, so that's true. And our last question, true or false, Mark 16:18 says, believers shall lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, and they shall recover or begin to amend. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. It's exactly what it says. It says when hands are laid upon us in the name of Jesus as believers, that we can expect that healing power to go to work within our body right at that instant and to continue to work in our body until it brings about a healing and a cure, unless we stop it through some of the things we've talked about in this lesson, such as quit listening to God's word while we're waiting and start to listen to the lies of the enemy or the symptoms in our body that says we're not healed. If we start looking at our body instead of God's word, that will stop the healing process. If we begin to say that we're not healed because we don't feel anything yet, that can stop the healing process. If we begin to consider our body instead of what God's word has to say unduly, that can slow down or stop the healing process. And we need to continue to thank God for our healing. That keeps our faith high while we're waiting for this manifestation. So that completes our teaching then on do's and don'ts after you've prayed.